Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. I'm so glad to have you with us today. We appreciate it. If you like this video, make a good comment. We have plenty of negative comments out there. If you appreciate this, we'd love to hear about it. Check out calibrateministries.com for more resources. But today, I'm really excited for today's conversation with my special guest, Nate Herbst. All right, Nate, we are longtime friends. I really love you and appreciate you. You run the Great Commission Alliance, which is a ministry based out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. We crossed paths a long time ago in some different ministry circles. It's been at least 10 years, maybe even closer to 15 years. And we've partnered with ministry. I'm actually headed down there with my family this weekend and really excited to spend some time with you guys. You know, as I was thinking about how to introduce you, I know that you wouldn't want a big, long, fancy introduction, but like, I don't know if I know of anyone who's more passionate about the gospel and sharing gospel hope than you are. You live it, you breathe it, you share the gospel with everyone around you, and it is really remarkable and encouraging and inspiring that, gosh, I want to be Nate when I grow up. So that is my goal. And so I'm really excited to have you on today. We're going to talk about sharing the gospel, and we're going to start with some kind of basic tools to share the gospel, have gospel conversations. I'm excited to have an episode that's not about politics, because last couple weeks has been more about politics than I would like. But, you know, the world is kind of in chaos right now. There's a lot of chaos happening, a lot of heartbreak happening. And so we want to have answers. And so that's why I'm so excited to have you on right now, because we want to be able to share gospel hope with people. So first, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, the Great Commission Alliance, how God led you into ministry, a little bit of your background.
Yeah. Well, hey, Brady, I'll start with a recent story, just about what you just said about the world looking for hope. So I'll tell you in a minute about the GCA, but I think this might help everybody that's watching just kind of get a feel for what's going on in our world today. We train all over the world. I just got back from South Asia. Our team has been in more than 20 countries this year and a bunch more on the list. But whenever we're here, we are committed to doing evangelism and discipleship here. So usually I make my way up to campus as often as I can and try to go out sharing with students. And this past Friday, I was out with another student there and sharing our faith. And after we finished talking to one young man, another young man down the way, maybe 20 feet away, we had started to leave. We had not planned to talk to him, and he yelled at us, okay? So usually when you get yelled at in evangelism, maybe it's not always a good thing. They're yelling at you negatively. This was not that way. The man yelled out and said, "Hey, do y'all have a minute? I have questions about Jesus. I overheard your conversation and I wanted to ask you a few questions that are on my mind." We talked for an hour with him. He didn't trust Christ that day, but as we concluded, I said, "I'm just going to be very bold and ask you if you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior right now, today." And he said, "Making Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior," he said, "that is going to happen." He said, "Today is not the day. I need to keep thinking through this, but the day is going to come." That's wow. The kind of person that is passing us on the streets right now. I talked to another person yesterday, and they said that they were a lot older than us, Brady. And he said that he hasn't been in church in decades, but after this Charlie Kirk shooting, he said he went, started watching videos. He's been going to church ever since. I'm just telling you, we are at a unique time in both American history and world history where there is an increasing hunger for truth and specifically for Jesus. So that's where we come in. We exist.
That's amazing.
like Christ-like multipliers, we want to equip every believer on this planet to be able to share the gospel in those types of situations, to know how to handle that situation, to know how to respectfully share Christ with that person that is searching, to know how to answer questions that might come up, and if someone does come to Christ, to know how to disciple that person. So we have a lot of discipleship tools as well. That's why the GCA exists. Our mission is multiplying Christ-like multipliers. Our vision is to see the Great Commission completed. And that's who we are. I'm married to Erin. You asked about my family. You know Erin, my wife. She's the greatest treasure on this earth. And we have three precious kids. Eliana, our oldest. Kara, our middle one. And then Micah, my son, is our youngest. That's who we are.
That's awesome. And you also, you grew up somewhat overseas doing missionary work, and a lot of your missionary work is overseas. So you get really a picture of what God is doing, not only in the U.S., but around the world, and how to apply the gospel and share gospel hope, multiculturally, regardless of someone's background. And so I think that's some really amazing experience and insight that you get to experience.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm constantly surprised. Somebody the other day told me, I kid you not, people have these misconceptions, but they said, you cannot talk to Muslims about Jesus because they don't want to talk about Jesus. And I was like, I told the person, I don't think I've ever met a Muslim anywhere on earth that doesn't want to talk about Jesus. Like,
wow.
Like, all over the world, people are open to talking, but we have these misconceptions that they're not. I was just in a very conservative Muslim nation last week. And guess what? We had great open conversations everywhere we went. So Brady, whether it's here in the US or anywhere else on this planet, I think what Jesus says in John 12:32 is true. He said that when he was lifted up, he would draw all people unto himself. And then John clarified in verse 33, he said this concerning the manner of death by which he would die. So he was lifted up on that cross. That happened. And now I believe with all my heart, he's drawing people to himself with his kindness, with things that are happening in society. And we just need to be ready to share with those people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so I want to get into some maybe specific tools and encouragement. I think that for most people, when they think about sharing the gospel with someone, it feels so intimidating. And how do I do that? What if I'm rejected? What do I say? Or they feel like the pressure to, like, I'd have to have all the answers. Like, what if they ask questions? And Right. So you have some incredible resources. Like, how would you encourage just the everyday Christian to take some steps and be prepared to give an answer for the hope that they have, which is what God calls us to do?
Brady, let me start with this. Almost every great thing that you will ever do in life has an element of fear associated with it. Whether it's going to college, whether it's asking your wife to marry you, whether it's having children. Who wasn't afraid when they brought home the baby for the first time? Didn't know what they had to do to keep that thing alive, right? there are all these great steps in life that carry with them a sense of fear. And I think the greater the step, the greater that sense of fear might be. So the last thing we should do when we feel a little bit of fear or anxiety is not do that thing. If it's the right thing, then we can trust God with that little bit of fear or anxiety. And in fact, I believe that he can walk us through that. And there's great joy when we see him walk us through something that we're very scared of. I can't tell you how many times I've taken people out witnessing that were absolutely mortified to go out witnessing. But then after they went out, they came back just overjoyed that they finally conquered that fear and got to share their faith. So if that's you, I would just tell you the pressure's off. If you feel a little fear, don't panic. I've been sharing my faith for more than 4 decades. I still often feel fear when I go witnessing. And it's just an opportunity to trust God, to ask him to fill me with his spirit, and to then take a step of faith. And I promise you, he can use you even if you have a little bit of fear. Now, that being said, a great tool really tends to take away a lot of fear. So when we have a good tool, it can help us share our faith with a lot less fear. So Brady, if it's okay with you, I'll tell everybody about the 1 minute witness.
Yes, we would love to hear about it.
So this is a tool, I did not come up with it. Oasis Ministries came up with it, and specifically Tom Eli, the president of Oasis, came up with it. He used to speak to thousands. He was a pastor at a mega church, and he would speak to thousands here and thousands abroad. And he said he had no fear of sharing his faith with thousands, but he was terrified to share his faith with one. So he decided, I need to get over this fear and learn how to share my faith. So him and his accountability partner, George, they said, we're going to share our faith every day for 21 days to break this fear of personal evangelism. And they did. And at the end of 21 days, they had developed a tool called the 1 minute witness. They've now trained that to tens of thousands of people in more than 75 countries all over the world. I'll tell you the tool. We teach it all over the world. Our team has taught it to over 70,000 people in over 60 countries. And it works. It works in America. I use it on the college campus here every week. It works abroad. I used it in that conservative Muslim nation last week. It's a great, simple tool that's based on your personal story. So we say it has 5 points. I'll give you the very quick summary. And then Brady, I might send you the worksheet and you could put it in the video description or something like that.
Absolutely. And we might link some of those tools in the show notes, and Caleb will put them on the screen so they'll be able to see them.
So it starts with your thumb, and that's just permission. And this is a great way to start a conversation. And with permission, there are 3 questions we ask, and it's super simple. You just walk up to someone and say, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Now, that first interaction is what scares most of us the most. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to start the conversation. Well, you're about to learn the easiest way, I think. You just ask, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Now, virtually no one says no to that. Occasionally, somebody doesn't have time to talk. They're in a hurry and they say, hey, sorry, I can't talk. That happened to me once last Friday on campus. Somebody didn't have time. Typically, though, people say, sure, what's your question? Then you ask the second question, what's the best thing that's ever happened in your life? Now, oftentimes, people get shocked a little bit and they say, the best thing? I can't think of one best thing. Or why would you ask that? And you just roll with it and say, it's a good question. I like to ask new people. And if you can't think of one best thing, just tell me something wonderful that's happened in your life. And then we use this great evangelism tool called our ear. We listen to them and genuinely listen to them. Mm-hmm. We ask a few follow-up questions. We look them in the eye. We smile. We show them that we care. We respect them. Now, even if, and this has happened to me many times, they respond with something that I can't necessarily agree with or affirm. Like somebody might say, my homosexual partner is the best thing that ever happened to me. I've had that happen many times. I can always say, thank you so much for sharing. I don't Absolutely. Have to say, oh, that's wonderful, but I can respectfully say, thank you for sharing. I just asked them the question. They reciprocated by answering. I can at least say, thank you for answering my question, right? Yes. So it's a very non-threatening way to begin a conversation. And then I ask a third question. Could I tell you the best thing that's ever happened in my life? And here, I'm not lying to you. Once I've listened and shown somebody respect, I have yet to have somebody say no to that third question. And I've done this thousands of times all over the world in Muslim countries, Hindu countries, Buddhist countries. I've done it on atheistic college campuses. I've all over the world. I've never heard somebody say no at that point. So the 3 questions, and this will be on the worksheet, are just, excuse me, can I ask you a question? What's the best thing that's ever happened to you? And then, can I tell you the best thing that's ever happened to me? So that's permission. And it's a great way to start the conversation. Now, if they say yes, we follow up with our 1 minute witness. I'll go through the next 4 very quickly. Again, you can get those later in the worksheet. We start with our before Christ. What 3 words described your life before Christ? For me, it was fear and sadness and doubt. But each of us have a different story, so we briefly describe some of those different items. Now, each of those is building a bridge with someone. Once a man that I talked to on the campus here, as soon as I said death, he said, "I'm scared of death." This happens quite often. People will connect with one of those words. He turned out to be gay. So after hearing my testimony, he said, "My lifestyle is incompatible with Christianity." And I said, "Well, does your lifestyle give you any hope when it comes to your death anxiety?" And he said, "No, it does not." And I said, "Then we're comparing apples to oranges, because Jesus does give me hope with my fear of death." And so that one item from my past built a bridge with this man. And he was very interested in a solution that he realized right away his lifestyle didn't provide. So three words that describe my life before Christ, briefly how I came to know Christ, three words that describe my life after Christ. I'm not portraying perfection. I'm just communicating that Jesus has done a work in my life and is doing a work in my life. And then finally, we summarize with a short conclusion that starts like this: if I'd never met Jesus, blank, but because of him, blank. But anyway, that's the 1 minute witness. Again, we'll share the resource in the video description, but it's a very simple way to share the gospel. And on that worksheet, we actually have a video so you can see it live. Brady, could I give you my 1 minute witness?
Absolutely. I would love it.
So mine goes like this. Let's say Brady is somebody on the street that I've never met. I might walk up to him and say, "Hey, excuse me, could I ask you a question?" And he'd respond,
"Sure."
I'd say, "Brady, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you?"
Oh, gosh, that's a hard one. Probably becoming a dad.
All right. That's a great moment in a lot of dads' lives. I remember the first time I held a child in my hands that came from my wife's stomach, and I just could not believe this baby came into the world. It was amazing. How many kids do you have?
I have two.
Wow. Well, I pray that God blesses them in great ways. Brady, could I tell you the best thing that ever happened in my life?
Sure.
There was a time in my life when I had a lot of fear and sadness and doubt, especially the fear of death. It absolutely consumed me. And even though I had grown up in a good Christian church, I didn't really understand what it was all about. So it kind of felt more like I was going through the motions. But one day it clicked. And for the first time, I realized that there was a God who loved me. I wasn't just a face in the crowd. And he loved me so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for my sins. I knew I was a sinner. And that's why he came and died. And he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead on the third day. And he did that so that all who believe in him could be with him forever in heaven and not separated forever from him in hell. That day, I trusted Jesus as my Savior and Lord, and he absolutely changed my life. He turned my fear into hope, my sadness into joy. The doubt didn't go away overnight, but over the years, I found answers to all the questions I was asking. If it hadn't been for Jesus, my life would be very, very empty. But because of him, I know I will be with him forever in heaven. So that's my 1 minute witness. And usually I'll follow it up with just something like this. I might say, have you ever had an experience like that with Jesus? Or is that something you're looking for? And you cannot believe how many people will say, "I'm still looking for that." And that opens up an opportunity to go deeper with the gospel. Anyway, that's a tool that we use a lot. It's a great way to start a conversation, share your story. And if the person is interested, it opens into a deeper conversation. And if they're not interested, that's okay. You just planted a gospel seed, and you can trust God to work with what you planted.
Absolutely. That's awesome. All right. So that's the 1 minute witness. I want to pivot to another tool that you guys have. This is actually one that you guys developed. It's called the Best Facts. I was exposed to this when you guys invited me to speak at a multi-city conference. This was a few years ago. It was with Josh McDowell, which was pretty amazing. And I remember you guys gave the presentation on the best facts. And so this is amazing because it's a combination of evangelism with apologetics. And that's one thing I appreciated about your ministry. It's not one or the other. It's like evangelism with solid apologetics. And I remember after one of those conferences, Josh McDowell, who's like one of the world's best, you know, apologetics guys said that your presentation was the best presentation on apologetics he's ever heard. And that's a pretty remarkable statement. And so, you know, the 1 minute witness is great for, you know, just witnessing to random people and evangelism. But this is a much deeper tool that really helps someone develop a worldview that answers their deep questions. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about this tool and how to use it and why some of these facts presented in it are so important.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll tell you the backstory to the tool. Apologetics, like I said in my testimony, doubt was a huge part of my life. I never got into like lots of active rebellion, but I had a lot of doubt. I needed answers. And so I found a lot of answers. That's the great thing. They're answers to the questions that we ask about our faith. And for many years of ministry, I would have students that I was discipling come talk to me and say, hey, I shared my faith with someone. And they had all these apologetics questions. And so I gave them your number. They might call you. I'm not kidding you. I had this conversation time after time after time after time. Guess how many times that non-Christian with questions called me, somebody they've never met, to ask questions about Jesus? Zero. It never happened. And so I was racking my brain, just how can we help our people, our students, actually not say, call my friend, but rather be ready to have that conversation on the spot. And so we came up with this acrostic, the best facts acrostic, and it is 9 reasons that we can know God exists and the Bible is true. The beginning of the universe, the engineering of the universe, standards and morality, and the truth about Jesus, they all point to the reality that God exists and that he came to this earth as the man Jesus Christ. And then F, it foretells the future. It's archaeologically accurate. It's coherent. It's been transmitted correctly. And there's science in the Bible. Those are some facts that tell me I can believe the Bible. So we put it into an acrostic and then we put it into that little booklet. And we did that so that Christians could remember and communicate these core reasons that we can know without a doubt that God is real and that the Bible reveals him to us accurately. And so just last week on campus, I always have these resources with me. And there was a young man that had a lot of questions about God. And I got to go through all that evidence with him really quickly. And the thing that I love about that track is I can leave it with him. He doesn't just have to remember the evidence for the resurrection that I communicated with him. He has it in a little booklet. And so he can take it home. He can refer back to it. And that evidence can keep convincing him even long after our conversation. So that's a little bit about that best facts tool. That and other tools are all available at our website, greatcommissionalliance.org, under resources.
Absolutely. Here's a little side question. When it comes to witnessing, so we've talked a lot about witnessing in an evangelism type way. But I know you guys are also very, very relational. I think one of people's hiccups is how do I witness to someone that is maybe a member of my family, maybe someone I've had a long time relationship with, and we've never been talked about those spiritual things, or I've never engaged their heart. Now it seems like impossible to kind of pivot to that. Or it's like, gosh, they've experienced the worst of me. Like they've seen what a wretched sinner I am. Like, you know, like they wouldn't believe that Jesus has done some horrible things in my life. Do you have any advice for us there for existing relationships in our life, whether they're a unrepentant sinner who's like a family member that we know? Like, that's the question I get all the time. It's like, how do I reach out to my gay uncle? Or my nephew, and like there's this long-standing relationship in some way through family, or it might be a neighbor or coworker. But then pivoting from that current relationship to a witnessing relationship, I think is difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah, let me tell you a story. I did this with a very dear couple of relatives before they died. And my family, going back many years, some of my family members had gotten saved and had burned some bridges with other family members, told them, you're all going to hell. You got to repent right away. All those things are true, but they didn't communicate it in a way that was loving or respectful. It was pretty abrasive. And so for many years, there was this is a no-go zone. We don't talk about that with you guys type of thing. And so one thing I did, it was I just sat down with them and I apologized for how some of those conversations had gone in the past. And I just said, I want you to know that the people in my family that kind of burned those bridges, they did so in love. They didn't mean to burn bridges. They didn't mean to be abrasive. They wanted to know that you would be with them forever in heaven. But first and foremost, on their behalf and on our family's behalf, I'm very sorry for how that unfolded. So there was like an apology from me towards them for some of how this conversation has been in the past. That might not be a bad place to start in some cases if we've bridged. And it kind of sets a little bit of a atmosphere of humility and sincerity. That day, the conversation then went very deep. I just said, hey, because I love you, I really want to know that I'll be with you in heaven when you get there, you know? And I got to clarify the gospel with them. They did not that day share with me with confidence that they had trusted Christ or wanted to that day. And so I didn't get everything I wanted out of the conversation, but we had a very, very good, deep gospel conversation that day. One that I have a very clear conscience about where I stood with them. Now, fast forward, one of those people on her deathbed, the last words she was uttering were Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the other one, about a year later on his deathbed, my brother was with him all alone, and my brother led him to Christ. So
wow.
I believe with all my heart, I will see them both in heaven. But I guess I would say approach those conversations with humility. If you have burned bridges, ask forgiveness. Even if they are a reprobate sinner, we've all been there. And I'm sure you could probably find something you could ask forgiveness for and just humble yourself. And show them some vulnerability that you're not just out to win an argument with them, but that you genuinely care about where they will be for eternity. And, you know, you might even just say it like that. I just really want to know that that you'll be in heaven because I want to see you there because I love you. Now, after a conversation like that with other relatives, I've done things like this. I might share Christian resources. Some of our resources, some of our tracts I've shared with different relatives, like the Best Facts tract. I shared that with another relative. I didn't know where she stood, but she was very dear to me. We lost her about a year ago. And we had shared with her for many years, and I didn't have like a real strong confidence of where she stood. So I would share different resources like that. And I think she was open to that. In fact, she wrote a letter to us saying, don't worry about my salvation. Jesus Christ is my savior. Treasure it now. Now that she's lost, I never got to like sit down with her and pray a sinner's prayer with her, so to say. But knowing that I did my best to communicate the gospel with her in different ways, different avenues, I gave her books, I gave her tracts. When she went through some hard diagnoses, I tried to give her resources that would help with that from a spiritual perspective. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, humility, vulnerability, but also gospel intentionality. Let's not forget the gospel, because the day might come, like with the three people that I just shared with you, where we don't have the opportunity to share with them again because they're gone. And so let's make the most of every opportunity, like Paul says in Colossians 4:5, and have a lot of humility. Pray a lot for those people. I prayed mostly daily for those people. And just pray for them, never stop. I'll tell you, my older brother, I prayed for him for decades. And about 5-6 years ago, he finally came to Christ. And I had not even been communicating the gospel with him. This was a work that God did in his life apart from me. But prayer was key, I believe, in his story as well. So pray for them. be humble and vulnerable with them, ask forgiveness if you need to, and make it a point to graciously share the gospel. And if you feel like the conversation is going to devolve into a yelling match, maybe simply say, hey, I got this great resource. I'd love to leave it with you. If you have thoughts on it, I'd love to hear what you say or what you think.
Absolutely. No, I think, yeah, humility goes a long ways. And we live in a culture, and social media has exacerbated this, where some many times the goal is to win an argument, right? And there, many of the non-believers in our lives, like, they have been genuinely hurt by Christians, or they've had Christians who just wanted to win arguments, or it became too much about politics or this and that. And so, like, some bring some humility, and we can apologize for what other Christians have done. And not that it's our fault, but that humility of, I'm sorry that you've been treated in this way, which we should be, even though it wasn't maybe necessarily even us who treated them in that way, goes a long ways in building a relationship and bringing a soft heart to them. And so I think that that is great. Let's start with humility. Let's do some listening, more listening than speaking. It's like, that's what the Bible says, right? And so we ask some questions and we do some listening, and especially when it's a relationship with someone that we have a long-term relationship with, right? And so obviously the evangelism along the street is always, there isn't always as much time, but for people we have relationship with, I think too many times we have the attitude like, oh, I need to say these truths and then get out of there. But we go and do some listening. And I think of, you know, Jesus with the woman at the well. You know, he went and he asked questions and he engaged with her deeply and then gave her gospel hope. But he did some listening, even though he already knew the answers. He knew what was going on in her life. But he did some listening and he engaged with her deeply.
Yeah, Brady, let me add to that too. Like, I could envision a situation where you have, or somebody has a relative or a friend, and they feel that tension you're talking about. Like, I have to share the gospel every single time. Mm. And I kind of want to let you know the pressure's off. We do need to share the gospel with them. Yes. It doesn't have to be the only thing that ever comes out of our mouth.
Absolutely. We can talk about much other things in our relationship with them too.
You can develop that relationship. I have one relative that I love very much. He knows the gospel. He's heard it. And he told me he doesn't want me to talk to him about Jesus ever again. So he gave me a boundary, and I'm going to respect that boundary. And you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to be a good friend to him. Mm-hmm. And we have developed a very close friendship since that time. That a closer friendship than we ever had before. He knows the gospel. He's put up a boundary. I'm respecting that boundary, and I'm intentional about building a relationship with that person. And you know what? In due time, I believe the door will open. But I don't have to badger him. I don't have to force down the door, especially if he's communicated this hard boundary with me. I can still be committed to loving that person, building that relationship, and being ready for when that day does come where I can share in his life.
That is an amazing vision of relationship for all of all us all to have, and respecting his boundary and yet still being a great friend. Like, I think that is really remarkable and something that we can all put into practice. I want to shift to a different resource that I helped you guys create last year. For anyone who's on my newsletter list, you got these in a newsletter this summer. We packed each one with a couple of these. You'd had a heart a couple of years ago to develop a resource specifically for LGBTQ people to help us share the gospel with them and overcome some of the specific barriers. And you and I had started having that conversation, and just it seemed like there was so much spiritual warfare around writing a booklet. Yep. And that's what I said. Yeah, that's the way it is with this issue. There's so much spiritual warfare happening that makes it so hard to engage with LGBTQ issues and the darkness that's there. And we had some really good like online meetings where we're doing a lot of wordsmithing And, you know, some of those got a little bit animated because, like, gosh, like, it's so important to understand, like, what these words mean to people. And it's so hard because with these issues, people take everything the wrong way. They misconstrue things. They, like, all these words have a very loaded meaning that they wouldn't in other contexts. And so tell us a little bit about your heart to develop a resource specifically for LGBTQ people, why you think it's important, and kind of, you know, the framework and what we did in this.
Yeah. So as a ministry, we want to equip every Christian to have gospel conversations with everyone in their sphere of influence. And we have found that most Christians struggle just to get the gospel out. That's why we need a tool like the 1 Minute Witness. But I think even more really struggle to share it with certain demographics. And so eventually we will have a resource like that one for every demographic. So the first special track that we created was that Best Facts one. That's helping people share the gospel with people that have an atheistic worldview or a skeptical worldview. After that, we did a Good Works one for the people that are trusting religion to get them there. And then the LGBTQ plus tract for people in that community. Since we have also created one for Hindus specifically. And eventually we're going to have one for Buddhists, Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, you name it. Now, that being said, what was the reason behind this resource? Well, for me personally, as I share on the college campus and in other situations, oftentimes I will end up sharing my faith with someone who is gay or lesbian or trans or something along those lines. And I always felt like I can share the gospel with that person, but I just wish I could contextualize it just like Paul did in Athens for the worldview that they are in. I wish I had something like that that could really help them understand the importance of the gospel and how it relates to where they're at, but also that they could take with them after the conversation and refer back to it. Now, I mention that because, and I said it previously, people get saved from booklets like these after the fact. I know this. I know a pastor that has been pastoring a church that I grew up in for more than 20 years. He came to Christ by pulling a tract like this out of a trash can and reading it. I have another friend that leads an international ministry who also was at a low point in his life. He did not want to live anymore. He laid down on a bed and he was running his hand down the side of the mattress, and there was a tract that was wedged in there. He pulled it out and read it. He got saved there. I can tell you another story where the man that mentored me, Russ Akins, Brady, I think you've met Russ. Or at least
I have.
Russ, he shared the gospel with a student once. The guy said, "That's not for me." And Russ said, "Well, do you have a junk drawer?" And the guy said, "Yeah, I have a junk drawer." He goes, "Take this home and put it in your junk drawer." And so the guy did. And he goes, "If you're ever thinking about it, you'll know where to find it, you know?" So he comes back the next day and says, Russ, remember that track you went through with me?" He goes, yeah. He goes, "Well, it's still not for me. But as I was walking home, I started thinking, maybe it's for my roommate. My roommate's been depressed and sad." And so I got that booklet and I went through it just like you did with me and got to the end of it. And my roommate said he wanted to make that decision. And so my roommate prayed that prayer right there at the end of it. And so this non-Christian led his roommate to Christ with the tract. Isn't that great? Wow. Because it's not the messenger that's important. It's the message. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation, not the presenter that's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel changes lives. And so I love putting it into tracts like this that are specifically tailored to different demographics that we find, knowing that A, it's going to help them receive it better because it's written to their frame of mind, but then B, they might just take that home and pull it out at some later date and make that decision. And we'll find out in heaven. So I'll tell you, the conversation that really did it for me was that one with that young man that feared death on the college campus. This is maybe 3 years ago. And he was struggling. He kept saying, I want to believe in Jesus, but I can't because I'm gay. I want to trust Jesus, but I can't because I'm gay. And I just kept telling him, just shelve it. Like, come to Jesus as a human, not as a gay man. Just come to Jesus as a human being that needs a savior. And listen, if Jesus really is who he says he is, maybe you could trust him with that issue. And if he isn't who he says he is, don't trust him with any issue. Keep doing your thing. But just come to him as a human being that recognizes they need hope. They need a savior. And Brady, after that conversation, he didn't feel comfortable giving me his number, which I get. But I still to this day agonize for that young man. Mm-hmm. And I just wish I would have had this tool where I could have put my number on the back and could have given him something that kind of he could have pulled out of a junk drawer later. And the other reason, Brady, is just most Christians, I think out of most of the conversations that they don't feel comfortable with, this is probably the one they feel least comfortable with.
Yes.
And so that doesn't mean we don't need to share with people in that community. Actually, we need to share more and more with people in that community. So somehow we got to equip your average church-going Christian to be ready to have that conversation with their uncle, like you said, you mentioned the uncle example, or with a neighbor. I talked to a lady recently. She is the secretary for a major ministry here in town. And when she heard about this resource, she literally starts crying right there at her desk and says that her brother is gay and they haven't talked about God in years and she doesn't even know where to start with them. She said she has two gay neighbors and she just asked if they'd be willing to get together and do a Bible study with her. And they said yes. But she goes, I don't even know where to start with them. So it's like, that's why we made this. So you'd have a starting point with your brother, yes, with your neighbors, et cetera.
Yes. And so this resource specifically addresses a couple of the myths that LGBTQ people believe and really frames it. We talked about the rich young ruler and the myth that he believed and how then he had to surrender that to the Lord. And so we talked about the myth that homosexuality is genetic and unchangeable. And then the myth that non-binary or that gender is non-binary and changeable. And so we addressed a couple of those specific lies that they believe. We call them myths because thought that's calling, starting out with lies was maybe a little too negative. But we framed that within a biblical story on like people have always believed myths, but yeah, Jesus sets us free with the truth. And so I think it really is a great resource for people. I've gotten some great feedback. I had sent these out, a couple thousand of them out in my newsletters this summer, and people were extremely thankful and encouraged, not only to have it to share with their LGBTQ people, but just being equipped to have conversation, even if they don't specifically give them this, to be able to have a conversation with LGBTQ people in their life. And so we can get you some of these. I have still hold another box in my office that I'm happy to mail someone a packet of them. And then they can be, I think, ordered off of your website too. So we'll share all those details at the end.
Brady, I'll tell you one story. We don't have a lot of feedback yet because it's a newer resource, but one young lady that's struggling with LGBTQ plus attractions and issues that's not a Christian, a friend of ours shared it with her. And she has not yet trusted Christ. She doesn't, I think, totally understand all the different issues of the gospel clearly. But her initial response was, I really like that booklet because it doesn't come across harshly. It comes across so respectfully. And so
and that's what we're trying so hard to do.
Yeah. So to hear that kind of initial response, even if the person hasn't yet trusted Christ, they maybe don't fully understand all the elements of the gospel yet, but there has been a seed planted. And it was one that that person in that community recognized subjectively as a positive issue. Like, how many times has somebody in that community told you, wow, that gospel presentation was really positive? Like, maybe yeah. that doesn't happen all the time. So stories like that encourage me that this is a tool that that God will use. Brady, without your background and influence, this tract wouldn't be what it is. And I'm just so glad we got to partner on this. And I'm confident that many, 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 many believers are going to be equipped to share their faith with that community in a way that they just previously have never been able to. If you need them, come to our website, greatcommissionalliance.org. Just look under resources and we can get them to you.
Absolutely. Let me just touch on this. We're almost out of time. I appreciate you guys for so many reasons, your evangelism, your apologetics, but you don't just leave it with that, because that's sometimes a problem when, you know, people just share the gospel. We trust that God will provide them what they need, but you also have some tools for discipleship. And so here's one of them. And so a whole big, long discipleship booklet to go through with people. So you have some incredible resources, not just to share the hope of Christ with people, but then to walk alongside them with discipleship.
Yeah, we have another one too that's free. So the book is on Amazon. That's a 13-week workbook. It's a great tool. I've done it with two of my three kids, and we'll be starting it with my third kid soon. And it's a great tool. But we also have the one-year discipleship tool. It's free. You can print it right off the website, again, at our website under resources. And the important thing is to actually disciple those people that we lead to Christ. So let me tell you a quick story. It was about 6 weeks ago, we did a training here at our training center. We had a big group, about 70, 75 people. We all went out doing evangelism. I did not. I had a friend, a dear lifelong friend, that flew in. His flight got delayed. He came and he made it to that training right before everybody was going to go out. So I stayed back with him and his family. And anyway, we were having a special time and kind of getting them caught up on some of the training before the afternoon. And while we were talking, lunch arrived, Chick-fil-A, right? And we had Chick-fil-A come for all the participants. And so I did my 1 minute witness with the driver. And I love the 1 minute witness because you can do it in a minute. It's so short. And so I did it with the driver, and the guy just completely says, I need this. My mom had a spiritual experience recently. Mm-hmm. It was not with Jesus, but that got him thinking he needs to consider spirituality. So I clarified the gospel with him, and he trusted Christ right there on the spot, eagerly. He had tears in his eyes. He trusted Christ right there on the spot, people walking by. And anyway, for the next 3 weeks, I texted him and said, hey, could we meet up and talk more about Jesus? I hadn't heard a word. When we do our trainings, we encourage you with follow-up. Keep persevering. Keep praying for that person. Keep reaching out. Finally, about 3 weeks later, he texted back and said, sure, that'd be great. We got together and had our first discipleship appointment right here in this room. And it was so special, so wonderful. And literally about a week later, before I texted him to set up the next one, he texted me. I was in South Asia, and he texts me and he says, hey, when can we get together again to get into to read the Bible together some more? So he's growing in his new faith, and he's eagerly wanting to know more about Jesus. So I just got to tell you, this stuff works. Jesus changes lives. The testimonies that many of you heard decades ago in church, they didn't stop happening. They're still happening. Jesus is still changing lives today. And it is time for us as believers to be sharing our faith. And when people come to Christ, to be ready to disciple them so that they can grow in their faith and so that they can also reach their sphere of influence with the gospel. So, that's our whole gig here at the Great Commission Alliance. Equip you and train you to share your faith and equip you and train you to make disciples. And I just got to say, Jesus himself, he commanded us to do this. Then he gave us his Holy Spirit to empower us for this work. So why wait another day? Jump in. It is the adventure of a lifetime, Brady. The abundant life that Jesus promises in John 10:10. It is part and parcel with the Great Commission. It's not like the abundant life is all the fun stuff and the Great Commission is all the hard stuff. No, the Great Commission, sharing my faith, making disciples, that is part of the abundant life. Stories like I've told you, they fill me with joy when I think about them. I'm exhilarated when I'm having these conversations with lost people. I told that to the young man that was with me last week on campus when that guy yelled at us and said, "Can you come over and talk to me?" And we talked to him for an hour. I just said, in a conversation like that, there's no place on earth you'd rather be. There's nothing on earth you'd rather be doing. It is the privilege of a lifetime to be God's ambassador in that person's life as you communicate to them the good news of what Jesus did for them. So this is great stuff, Brady. God is doing great things. He's invited us to be a part of it. And it is the privilege of a lifetime to co-labor with him in his Great Commission harvest.
Awesome. Absolutely. That's why I love you so much, because you're so passionate about this and you rub off onto the people around you. I want to end with that. You partner with churches and you will come to people's churches and do a training. And so I have a lot of pastors who listen to this podcast, ministry leaders. You would love to partner them to equip their congregation in having gospel conversations and sharing gospel hope with people.
And I'll just put it this way. We have trained in 64 countries now.
Wow, 64 countries. That is phenomenal.
Isn't that great? And many of them, many times. We have trained in, I don't know the number of states, 20, no, maybe 10 states or something like that. But anyway, we have never once charged anybody on earth a penny. All of our team members raise their own support. And so our mission is to train people and equip people everywhere to share their faith and make disciples. So if you want us to come, I will promise you, we will come to every single church that wants us, and we will never charge them a penny. We will never expect a penny. We won't expect a love offering or anything else. If God ever puts it on somebody's heart to do something, that's between them and God. There's never an expectation of it. We want nothing more than to see your people equipped to share their faith, to make disciples, and to see your church grow. That is our great joy. We exist to pour gas on other people's fire, and we succeed when you succeed. We have no ulterior motives of trying to get people or anything like that. We are here to serve the church. So yeah, Brady, if anybody wants to reach out, let us know. I can assure you we will have a team at your church to train them, equip them, resource them, take them out in the community, come back, debrief it, and leave them much better equipped to share their faith than they were before.
Amen. That is awesome. So that's a great place to end it. If you are a church leader, a pastor, reach out to Great Commission Alliance. They are a wonderful, wonderful partner. So, all right, Nate, we are out of time, but thankfully I'm going to have lots of time with you this weekend and next week. And so we're going to be partnering in ministry together in Albuquerque, and they're over the Balloon Festivals. My family is going to love our time with you. And so everyone else should be jealous that I get some time with you. But they can have some time with you too. Just have Nate and his team come to your church. So thank you so much for sharing your heart. I told people that you are contagious, and I think that they will have seen by now that I was right, and we need to be sharing gospel hope. And it is the privilege of a lifetime to be able to share the gospel message with those around us.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much, Nate. And thank you, everyone, for joining us on this episode of Calibrate Conversations, Embracing God's Standard for Sexuality. Again, make sure you like this video if you can, share with your friends, go to calibrateministries.com for more resources, and we will see you next week.